the Oscars.
Wow.
The Night of the Stars.
Events.
Celebs all descended for the
In
their finery. They descended upon LA for the final stage of the award season. All of the stars.
Name a star.
Brad Pitt.
He was there, yeah. I think. I didn't actually see him. I'm always on the lookout for Brad. He's my favourite A-lister.
I like him as well. But he domestically abused his wife. But he was...
Someone commented
He was really good at Moneyball. So, you know, you have to... There's nuance to every...
Didn't he, like, hit her on a plane or something?
Yes.
Some reason, in my head, everything that went on in Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's marriage...
Was on a private jet.
Happened on a private jet.
And I feel that's where the first problem is.
It's like, you can't live in the sky. Live on the ground. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
I even imagine, like, the court case happening on the private jet.
Well, because they always have to be in transit.
They always have to be in transit.
They're so busy.
They're so famous.
But where did Brad Pitt find the time to do, you know, surprisingly good sculpture art?
Well, didn't he start doing it pretty soon after?
I guess what I like about Brad Pitt, and this obviously applies to every man, but the fact that he's domestically abusing his wife does really go against the things I like about Brad Pitt. Do you know what I mean? No, I'm saying that some people, it's like...
Give this man fucking award.
You know, if it was a man
who... You might be the most progressive man I've ever met.
If it was a man who grew up in a bin and clawed his way to the top and it came out...
You can say his name is Timothy Spall.
And it came out that he maybe was a bit rough with his wife, I'd be like, take the wheat with the chaff. That's not why I like this guy, because of the tenacity in which he called out the bin.
Controversial. Continue.
But someone like Brad Pitt...
So hold on.
What I like about Brad Pitt is this gravelly...
He beats his wife and does sculptures.
No, it's more like this hair.
Well,
and all his clothes are baggy and he's just like...
He's
got this very like...
I'm waiting for the butt, like, and it's going to be a harsh one.
Hot weed surfer guy charisma that he's managed to blend into many different forms.
Absolutely.
And I feel trying to hit your wife on a private jet might undermine that slightly, as opposed to Bin Man, who I'm like, well, of course.
I don't even know where to start. So
start at the beginning.
Well, I suppose we'll start with...
Of time.
Let there be light. you've put me on the spot, quite frankly. So you're expecting Bin Man to do some, you know, Bin Man things.
Yeah.
Are you saying what's your overall point that you like Bradley for that?
No, I don't.
Bradley.
I don't.
Oh, that's his name. His name's Bradley. He's got the same name as Bradley Cooper. That's weird.
I think his name's Bradchard. Bradchard.
The whore.
It's Bramthew.
Bramthew. Bramthew Pittenberg.
That'd be great. If his name was Bradorus Pitifer.
We're not Pitifer. That's Alex Pitifer.
Yeah.
Starred in the Alex Rider series. They had the same name.
What's he doing now?
I used to read those books. I think that was Nesbitt. No, that's not right. He is not doing well now, I presume.
No.
But hold on. Brad Pitt's name is Bradley, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's why Bradley has gone for... That's why
Bradley Cooper, Bradley
gone for
Walsh.
Bradley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, but they're, you know...
It's a spectrum of Bradleys.
But do you not find... Does that not freak you out a bit that Brad Pitt has the same first name as Bradley Cooper? Because that's really... That's not me for six.
I guess it sort of makes sense where, like, the narrow paradigm in which we view Hollywood leading stars, they're probably going to be a certain type of white dude, right?
Absolutely.
A white dude with a big chin, which means their fathers had big chins, right?
And their father's chins are always bigger, aren't they?
Well, yeah, you'd assume so to have the genetics, to have the perfect jawline to be a Hollywood leading man, right? They have to come from at least one parent.
You've got a very good jawline, don't you? So that's probably your strongest facial feature.
Exactly.
Right. Oh, I see. That's where we're going.
That's where I was going to land.
Yeah.
So they come from a long line of jawlines, right? And I feel if you're going to have a man with a jawline who has a son, he's probably going to call him something like Bradley. Do you know what I mean?
Right. What are the other names he might use, just so I can...
it would be, I mean...
Do you think Leonardo goes in there?
Leonardo does, but I mean, it's a bit newer. I think that's a bit hippie, dippy yeah. parents, They've you know? Got,
yeah, his sound like his John, parents were painters.
John, to be fair, John.
John?
John, yeah.
Tom?
Tom, sure. The, you know...
Dom?
They're just white guy names, you know.
It's Rom?
Not, I don't. I think the fact that Bradley Cooper and Bradley Pitt have the same name is Bradley not Pitt, maybe Bradley. Not the best trivia.
But if I'm,
I'd argue like over dinner, that's not an amazing fact.
Yeah. Or at a Christmas
or
cracker,
like I don't think it's going to shock many people.
I actually think it will. Can you comment this?
Yeah.
So if I'm being honest to myself and everyone here,
yeah.
I didn't realise that Brad Pitt and Bradley Cooper had the same first name until that moment.
Yeah.
Because I never thought about it. Do you know what I mean?
I didn't think about it, and you've told me about it, and I'm actually bored. It's actually boring.
It's hard to be really bored on your own podcast. That's a tough one.
Yeah, that was just... Yeah, it's just... It's controlled.
Yeah.
Confined boredom. Look, it's like a little bullet of boredom. It's like, bang, I completely, God, that's fucking boring
I completely
shit.
Understand that. For me, it's actually quite enthralling.
Yeah.
Because it's been... It's like I was blind, but now I see.
Yeah.
But the Oscars, you were covering... Yeah. You were doing a kind of BBC
News stuff.
All of the stars descended upon the red carpet.
They rolled
LA
out the red carpet.
In their finery.
They rolled out... Al Pacino.
Oh, we go straight. It's Pacini.
I found out a lot of people stay up to watch the Oscars. Like, well, surprising
Ed said
people.
He
yeah.
did. Was there anyone else?
BB's friends, quite a few of them do it.
Well, it's just the showbiz lot, isn't it?
But it's staying up to like 4 a.m. It's like a American NFL game, but you're watching.
What's worse?
But, you know, what's but for fairies.
Yeah, the Oscars is the Super Bowl for fairies.
It is. Did you ever have a good time when you were really into awards shows?
Do I look like the kind of guy?
Well, you're dressed like Barry Keoghan today.
That's true, isn't it?
So you've probably never looked more like you're into awards than right now.
I hit the wrong day to say, do I look like that? Because the answer is yes, I do look like that.
You look like you should be on the side of the red carpet with a big microphone.
Going... Yeah, I know. The cast is just amazing. You say this all the time, but there were no egos on set whatsoever.
Oh, you're saying you're the actor? No, I'm saying you're the guy interviewing them.
Oh, that's worse, isn't it?
It's worse.
Yeah.
You're the guy in the junket.
Asking the questions that are clearly annoying
the
celebrities.
No, too fair. You look like an actor in a junket, too fair.
Okay, yeah. It's still not.
I take it back. You do like an actor.
Yeah, no, this is all true.
Yeah.
So I do look like the kind of guy who would get into award shows.
Did you ever watch award shows? Have you ever? Or do you watch the BAFTAs?
Now.
Name
now,
an award show.
Now there's...
How?
Now there's... No. Not, that wasn't a trivia question. Name an award show.
No, name BAFTAs. You're like, oh, fuck, of course.
I'm one of them. Right. Right, no, but other than one, and we're going to play a fun guess what that award show is. You can play it at home. So there's one I think is watched by the most people, full stop, in the UK. Now, what do you think that is? There's Crufts. One I used to watch every year. I've seen some Crufts, I'm not going to lie.
Crufts is fun.
Crufts is weird. I hate Crufts.
You don't like Crufts?
I think Crufts is an abomination.
Does it Crufts happen anywhere else in the world?
If I see another poodle that looks like a permed cloud, yeah. or like a detailed cloud,
yeah.
I'm going to kill myself.
I think Crufts is quite a unique achievement of human civilization. I don't know. Civilizations have all grown up in different places, and I feel it's a weird Britishness that only here has something like
there's
Crufts.
There's dog shows around the
world. Are there?
There's dog shows around the world.
Are there? Because I've only seen Crufts.
We're Googling a lot.
Yeah.
Are there other... There'll obviously be dog shows. Probably Crufts. We won't have the...
Crufts
is like
the creme de la creme.
Pedigree of Crufts.
Or the chum...
Of Crufts. Enough. I'm not going to type in, are there other dog shows? Am I?
Is Crufts
that would be
the
nonsensical.
Only dog
is
show
Crufts,
of this time?
Is Crufts kind? The only... I might chuck in a significant.
Yeah.
Only significant... I bet there's people in Australia really pissed off because we haven't heard of Bow Wow.
And they've stayed up till 4 a.m. to hear this. It's like the Oscars for them.
You can watch it later. It's not live. Is Crufts the only significant dog show? Okay. that's, you know, oh, it happened at the it happens in Birmingham National Exhibition Centre, which is where I was
in charge
where I worked at the National Pet Show.
Yeah, so I imagine that's probably similar to Crufts.
Yeah, well, there was
venue about pets,
and I had to look after children doing colouring, and I got 3 separate complaints from different parents because I kept swearing in front of their young children.
You were very. How did you get this job? This was at uni. You went with Adam to Birmingham just for this.
Had my first Subway on the way. Meatball marinara. I realise you didn't ask. Please continue.
I'm just working out if that was more boring than the Bradley thing.
I think Subway.
I think we might start doing a Top Gear leaderboard with how bored I was.
Well, wait for this, because this might get on. Okay. Subway has the most outlets out of any fast food chain in the world.
That's not boring. That's mildly interesting.
So now, with that fact, given that I had my first Subway at the age of 19.
Would you say Subway's the only way?
I think there's one or two that you could go down, but Sub is generally the better one.
Yeah.
Would you prefer Sub or Above? Stop. Continue with what we were saying.
I was asking you about the National Pet Show.
The National Pet Show. I got it. One of my friends got the gig, and then one of my friends knew someone that was fairly high up in the National Pet kind of hierarchy.
It goes right to the top.
And she needed someone. Then she said it was like £100 a day to go and look at children. That's not the right phrase.
Sounds great for me.
To win-win. Watch over them. But then I ended up sitting and I became friends with
a custodian, weren't you? You're a protector.
A keeper of the ancient truths.
So not a nonce, the opposite. To be honest, you were defending from nonces.
If anything, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Even though we were redundant because their parents would obviously stay with them rather than leave them with these.
Second line of defense. You know,
yeah, just in case there's loads of just in case the pedos storm the National Pet.
Well, what if they organise it? It's like an American football tactic. You got blockers
like a scrum, yeah. And they decide to swarm the National Pet Show.
You do decoy runs, you know.
There were a lot of kids because actually, any adult that goes to the National Pet Show as an adult by themselves, I think they're pedophiles.
There's certainly, it's certainly going up on a database somewhere.
Yeah. So we went up. I had my first Subway and then we went there. I had meatball marinara. Probably wouldn't choose it nowadays. But then we went there and then watched over the children colouring. And then I had to sit and do the tech for the small tent where the people were reading children's books. And there was a South African guy who did a thing about, he said, book. He would go he had a book, his own book.
And that was his accent. That's not a bit he was doing. That was just how he said book.
It was a bit of both.
Okay.
He went, book.
So,
And South African? No.
Yeah.
What's it? CFF? Can you do it?
It's like, no blacks in here. It's like, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And was it fun or
well, no, I'm just turning the mic down.
No, South Africans, it's interesting when you meet a South African.
I got moved because
you don't know if they're going to be kind of sun-soaked and fun or nasty and scary.
It's true, and that's the fun roulette that we play with South
They're kind of like white South Africans, I feel, are maybe like the most hardcore whites. Do you know what I mean? Well, if you think about white people and our current stereotypes, which is sort of like losers, I need to do my taxes, you know.
Yeah, I can.
Do you know what I mean?
And it's my dad's a tax advisor, so can you just fucking watch out?
But, you know, we've kind of been cuckolded, you know, apologising, guilty. I feel Australians are a bit, but South African whites, they're the ones who have lost none of... They're still scary whites. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I suppose so.
Well, I guess Russians...
Why are they still... Russians or...
Russians are still scary
skinheads?
Whites. Well, it's just like...
Berlin whites are quite scary to me.
It's not... South Africans aren't being like, oh no, I can't believe what we did.
It was awful.
You know.
Can't do an accent. What was
being
it?
Like, I don't like to see them around here, you know.
Yeah, okay.
And they seem, you know, built... They seem... Yeah, I don't know.
They've always got themselves together.
Yeah.
They're large men who know their way around
the
barbecue.
Humor, the white South Africans.
They seem very serious.
And I feel like you say one word that disrespects them and then they come out like, you better stop with that rot now.
Is that just because we had a South African teacher who was exactly what you're describing when we were
No, because they were actually right comparatively. I've been to South Africa.
Gentle giants.
And it's just like,
to South Africa.
And even as a white person, I found white South Africans made me feel racially uncomfortable.
Well, I was trying to talk about Crufts.
Sorry. Yeah, go for it.
No.
What are you doing here?
I do see that. The thing is, you know what? I just don't meet people nowadays.
You don't meet new people?
You know, I work at home. I go from here to the offie.
All you have is kind of me misremembering things.
Yeah, and then and then that informs what I think about things. And then I go out and say them to people and they're like, you're being a racist.
Yeah, I think sometimes you need to take more of a... You need to take be more bold with racial assumptions.
Yeah, you... The funny thing is, you absolutely believe that. You're not lying. That's,
I think you need to sort of... You meet one, when and you then say, you extrapolate.
Yeah. You meet one, you've met all of them. That's what you think.
Yeah. Whereas you're like, well, I haven't...
And I'm like, well, I haven't met all of them. I can meet 99% of a race and I'll be like, well, there's, you know, we don't know everything.
Yeah.
So at this national pet show,
yeah,
there was, we had to look after the children while they did colouring, but their parents were there, so it was irrelevant. And I was quite hungover during the time. Mm. Look, it was uni. It was crazy days. You know, we were too busy doing panty raids to think about the looking after these children.
We sniffed so many panties back
in. We sniffed too many. I want to be
it
back.
It was heartbreaking when we realised it was all men's panties as well. Yeah.
Oh, wrong room. Fuck, these are boxers. Whilst they're on our heads and we've got our dicks in our hands.
There's huge boxers. Oh,
oh, yeah. Oh. Oh, God, guys, these are boxers.
These are men's boxers.
These are men's pants. We got the wrong dorm. Yeah, whatever happened to panty raids? Should we panty raid to our friends' houses nowadays?
I do. Yeah, I it's probably the advent of the internet.
What's that? The tinternet.
It's probably the tinternet.
Probably the advent of the tinternet. What do you think?
That's my cultural analysis.
Oh, you think porn stopped panty raids?
Do you know what? Yes, I do. Yes.
Never say that we don't give genuine social commentary.
But in the way that vinyl was the biggest selling music thing, along with streaming, it was streaming.
It's
going to
come back, do you think?
It's going to come back in a sort of nostalgic way.
Video killed the
where
Windows,
you know, streaming, you can watch porn anyway. You can watch porn half up a ladder. You can watch porn on a bus.
How often can you get a fresh smell? Oh, I don't want to say it.
But then it feels like a more authentic kind of horny experience.
Yeah, yeah.
It's huffing.
What's the point?
Huffing. Right. A lady's panties.
Look, like brass tacks, if you guys don't mind.
Let's get down and
can
dirty
we get down? It. I'd love a graphic to come down now whenever we say brass tacks.
Yeah.
We didn't do any panties.
What do you what brass tacks, what do you think that is? What do you think that saying is? Brass what?
We've definitely discussed this. Brass tacks.
Okay. What's that?
What's brass tacks?
What's the last word?
Tax. T-A-X.
No.
Didn't we discuss this?
No.
What is it?
It's brass tacks.
T-A-C-S. Oh, yeah. We did discuss this, and I think I just refuse to believe it. Even
now
though
that
it's true.
Is mildly interesting, I think.
Of course it is. That's like our bread and butter. We've annoyed. It's so embarrassing. It's fine because we did it like 2 years ago, but we've 100% done this, and you brought this up, and my mind was blown.
It's when people see Radiohead, they want to see the hits. Do you know what I mean? Like you'd be annoyed if you didn't see Creep.
And like, yeah. So that's is that how we're going to approach this podcast? Like we're performing in a different city every night. So we always just do the classic bits. I got punched in the face.
To be honest, I think we only occasionally bring out classic bits. Most of the time it's us experimenting with our kind of terrible fifth album. And all of our fans are like, God.
Oh, I wish they do the brass tacks bit again.
Just come on.
Is that what they get on every week, brass tacks?
Yeah, it's in the, when you see a band, you're like, I just hear for the big hits.
What's a tax? T-A-C-K-S, FYI.
It probably has an unbelievably boring origin story that probably goes back to the Victorian
age. I'm going to say a fun one because it's my best one.
Yeah.
Hair of the dog.
How I spell that?
I hope you can spell hair of the dog.
Oh, I didn't know if it was a similar brass tacks type
thing. No. There's no trick. There's no trickery.
Yeah.
Do you know where that comes from? Because this is, again, something we have discussed on the podcast.
No.
It shows.
Forgot.
It's even more embarrassing. It's even more embarrassing that we both forget the things that we tell each other on this podcast, because then we're not informing anyone of anything new. And then even the new stuff that we do create or discuss, we forget ourselves. The hair of the dog. So I'll give you a clue.
Please.
I'm not going to give you a clue.
Please, clues.
So a hair of the dog, for people that don't know.
I'm Sherlock Gnomes.
Yeah. Why have we got more gnome-related things? We've done that before. We can't.
It's the hicks. That's what people are here for.
We can't do gnomes again.
What was the good one? Sorry, that was Sherlock Gnomes, Gnomeo and Juliet.
Those
and
are
then
the
we
two
came up with
we
a new
came up
one.
With a good one. I'm not going to remember it. No.
Daddy's Gnome.
We had Gnome Home was an E.T. one, but there was something better.
Gnome Alone.
Gnome Alone, but there was one better after that.
No,
no country for old men.
Oh,
yeah!
Come on! That's it. This is like Radiohead, and they're like, Because I'm just a... What was it?
What was it? Just... Creep!
I'm just a freak.
Freak, no. just a wacky guy.
Just a crazy
man. What the fuck?
Hair of the dog.
So...
You're enlightening
I'll
us.
I'll finish the... people at home who might not know, hair of the dog is, I guess, a euphemism. Kind of. For when you're hungover, have another drink, because alcohol will remedy that. It will help your hangover. Mm. And the phrase that you say is hair of the dog that bit you. What do you think?
Don't know.
Well, take a guess. Hair of the dog that bit you.
Because you... Being bitten by a dog is bad, so the remedy to it probably will be the fact that you have some of the hair there, so you can genetically track down the... If you take it to a lab, you can find where that dog is, so then you can get your revenge on the dog. So therefore, though the dog punished you, like having a punishing night of alcohol...
Yeah, there's not... You're not...
You got that hair, and then you're like, let's go to the lab. Oh, it's going to take...
I've encouraged you now.
It's going to take 3 months for this to come back. I've got time. And then they come back with the thing and it tells you where the dog, what the dog is. But you're like, I don't know where it is. They're like, well, I don't know. We just told you what the dog is. We don't know. It's not tracked. Can't track where it is. And you're like, well, where am I going to find this? And then you stumble across the dog anyway. And then you fight it and you kill it as revenge. And then you realize, oh, it wasn't that dog.
Because it was a different dog.
It was a different dog, but because all you know is the breed.
Word for word, perfect. I couldn't have put it better myself. It's like I was reading the Google page. You're not a million miles off. There were bits that rung true to it. It comes from this idea that, like, in ye old England times, if you got bit by a dog, or I think it was bit by a dog.
Yeah.
Oh dear, do I not know this? No, I do. If you got bit by a dog, the remedy to that, so like the antidote for that poison, was you'd make a potion to save you, and you'd put a hair of the dog that bit you in the potion.
Like a Macbeth sort of thing.
Like a Macbeth sort of thing. And then you'd drink that potion and you'd be cured. So it's actually makes a hell of a lot of sense. Alcohol is the thing that's bitten you.
Yeah.
But then it's also a bit of it.
It's like a voodoo black magic sort of thing.
What he said.
So anyway, we're at the National Pet Show.
There's a South African guy. Spirits are in the sky. there's a South African guy. He's scary. He's broad. But he's a children's book writer. And
this is a
it.
What only. Oh, Jesus Christ.
It was like, yeah. And I had to marshal all the black children out of the tent. It was an uncomfortable job. Then in hindsight.
Spirits are in the sky.
There were Shetland ponies walking everywhere. It was pretty wild. This story goes nowhere, by the way.
Yeah.
But so then I was in charge of watching over the children colour with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
two lines of defence against paedophiles.
Against the wave of paedophiles that's gonna attack. We're doing a good job of summarising. We've never remembered a conversation that well. We've got there's waves of paedophiles attacking, there's me and the parents there to bat them off. There were 2 days. On the first, I then came back on the second day, and the lady who was in charge of us took me aside and said, three separate parents complained about you swearing whilst in front of the kids.
Yeah.
And I went, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
So she went, we can't have you in front of the children anymore. And I was like, that's completely fair.
Were you effing and blinding?
I was effing and jeffing like it was but every time I kept, because we were really hungover. We went to like a house party the night before and had like 2 hours sleep.
Yeah.
And then went there and, you know, all bets were off at that point.
Yeah.
But every time I caught myself, I went, sorry. It wasn't like I was...
You weren't setting out to traumatise children.
Yeah, I wasn't going, that's fucking shit. But I would... So then I had to do tech instead in this small tent where there would be children's thing. And I eventually became part of some of these guys' acts.
Okay.
So I would go and hold the books in front of the kids.
Did you enjoy that?
I absolutely loved it. There was this one South African guy who kept going, book. And me and him became very good friends. We're like, oh, now it's time for the book.
Yeah.
And then he had this story about a dinosaur. Why are children's stories always about dinosaurs?
It's interesting, the love of dinosaurs does get lost as we enter into adulthood. Because I had a realization, not realization, but...
You look a bit like a dinosaur.
It's not where I was going, actually.
No,
I don't think we can use that as
That's a clip.
When I'm about... We're not clipping that.
Clip it.
When I was remembering how mad dinosaurs are, and we don't talk about it enough.
Yeah.
Because it's so... They're almost like they're made up for children, right?
Do you think it's a bit like my giraffe theory?
that we're overexposed to them.
And then we become disinterested.
I guess so, yeah. I guess so.
The giraffe but theory the thing, expands.
The thing is, about the difference is the giraffes do exist.
So let's just two second summary for the people at home, because this is a classic podcast. Yeah. This is podcast lore, is that L-O-R-E, and it's a lore in itself. Lore. There's giraffes. my theory is that there is, so for example, a giraffe, but too many wild kind of exotic animals, they're everywhere in children's books. You see giraffes all the time.
I'm in giraffe class.
When I was 7 years old, I couldn't turn around without there being a drawing of a giraffe there. That's the problem. And they're in every in giraffe class, in every book they're there. And it's like, that takes out the wonder of, and the react, like if you're brought up with them, you're no longer mesmerized by the majesty of them when you maybe see them in later life. Or if you see a real picture of them, you're like, oh, it's just a fucking giraffe. I've seen these since I was 3 years old, and that takes away the majesty, and we should stop showing kids giraffes. That's a giraffe theory.
Our podcast view, Boys Gone Wild's official, you can quote us on this, is that we think giraffes should be treated in the same way Islam treats the Prophet Muhammad. You shouldn't be able to draw him, you shouldn't be able to depict him,
and anyone who does should be beheaded.
stoned at halftime for depicting a giraffe.
I'd have to kill my South African friend. I think his name was...
But it would be that emotional scene in a film where you had to kill your best friend.
I'm so sorry.
Then you realise, he's mentally ill. He was just saying that consistently.
There were no children in the audience. There actually was very few, though.
We were talking about the Oscars, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we were talking... Yeah, yeah.
At the Oscars, it was relatively uneventful. I haven't watched an award ceremony properly. Yeah, I used to watch the BAFTAs because they were on at a reasonable time. And I used to find, quite almost embarrassingly, I used to be swept up in the majesty of awards. When I was a teenager, I would watch the TV with a sort, like in a film when it shows a kid being inspired.
And the eyes slowly growing. You're like...
And I used to think actors...
I love that you weren't inspired by the films, but rather the award ceremonies. You can win something?
Exactly. I just... Everything they were trying to do worked on me. All the tricks.
They sold an item that you swallowed up.
I fucking gobbled that shit up. You know. And I do think also I did... That was when I did take actors a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
I think that was when I used to...
It was back when we were talking about the Hollywood Roundtable, where we used to look
at
that.
Do you guys watch the Hollywood Roundtable? I don't know, because the Hollywood Roundtable I used to watch loads when I was a teenager, and I used to listen to it almost like it was fucking, I don't know, like Newsnight, or not Newsnight, but it was like hardcore...
You had a very odd take on current events.
But I used to, it was like hardcore... It's funny how I view the Hollywood Roundtable now compared to how I used to view it, because... When I was a kid, I used to take what they were saying as if they had really interesting things to say. And I, once again, as I've said on this podcast, it sounds like I don't love actors. Mm. I love actors. I think it's...
Maybe a bit too much.
Maybe. I think, I'm not saying they are useless or they do nothing. I think it's
you've
very
said
hard.
That a couple of times. I remember distinctly you were saying
I'm sort of obsessed with actors, and I think we are on this podcast sort of obsessed with actors, because it's sort of the amount of charisma they have, which doesn't almost chime with...
The lack of self-awareness.
This lack of self-awareness / thoughts to be said. It's like, imagine having sort of opinions that maybe are not the most astute, but done in the most charismatic way.
Yeah.
I find that combination quite thrilling.
And there's no better place to see that than on the Hollywood Roundtable.
The Hollywood Roundtable, which...
No good discussion has ever happened around a roundtable. I'm including the knights.
You don't think no good discussion has ever happened around a roundtable?
No, I think...
Well, it's too nefarious.
If the table ain't square, then this guy don't
care.
Then this guy don't care.
I don't like square tables.
Round tables are absolutely the best.
Yeah, good.
I don't know what I'm saying.
But the Hollywood round table, it's got that tiny little camp British guy with that like British LA accent.
Yeah.
That little guy, he sat down, he's like, hello, Brad Pitt, you know.
Who is he?
Yes. So when you're in your film, this like little...
It's pretty good, that.
Yeah, he can't believe that he's speaking to these stars.
You're doing it, no, keep going.
But he's like a bit cunty with it. He's like, yes, no, and I remember you actually did that in your last film, Andrew Garfield. So now we've spoken that about you.
You've got his arms right as well. About,
he just looks like, and yeah, I imagine, okay.
Yeah,
to
that's
be honest,
good.
I imagine he's got a remote control car for a bottom.
Let's go. Can I go meet the Hollywood stars now?
And he's paid for them all to come visit him. He looks like a tiny rich man who's paid for all of these actors to speak to him.
Does he have legs? Are they in the car, or is the car his legs?
A terrible trip mine accident meant that his legs have been blown off.
So they put him in a car.
They put him in like a...
In one of those, like, one yeah. of those little cars. Yeah,
he's
yeah.
paraplegic.
Yeah.
Or he is, his actual bottom half is the entire table.
Okay.
So he's got a very small torso, and you know it has a tablecloth over it, the round table. You take that off,
and it's skin this cute, colour.
It's this huge bulbous round.
Yeah, with like warts.
And he doesn't get to leave.
Yeah.
Welcome to my round table.
Yeah, he's a horrible little creep, isn't he?
He's a horrible little creep, and it is, but his accent's very specific. British guy who's lived in LA for like 12
speaks
years.
Through his nose.
It's kind of, I don't know what it is, but it's this sort of like quite Americanized British accent kind of. I don't know what it is. But I love that show now looking back at it because it's such a... It is like the Oscars. It's this unbelievably self-pampering, unself-aware celebration of already unbelievably celebrated men. They arrive.
There's no one in the room to take anyone down a peg.
No. They arrive and then they're suited and booted by professional stylists.
Yeah.
So it's like there's already, you've got people just dressed too well for a round table.
Drenched in Gucci.
And then while they're talking about their roles and their process, you know, one of my favorite moments was Andrew Garfield's unbelievably sincere. Like, this guy clearly hasn't had a no man in his life for at least 8 years.
Yeah,
you can just see from the way he talked about. He said, you know, I think he was talking because he had a religious, he was talking about this role where he was like a religious, I think maybe it was silence potentially.
Yeah.
Because like, totally. I'm not a religious person. Well, I describe myself more as, and then he just put so much stank on this. I couldn't believe, I describe myself more as spiritual.
And then
he goes, oh, no, I describe myself more as... No, that wasn't spiritual. I describe myself more as a pantheist.
Oh, my God.
Pantheist.
And then Mark Ruffalo goes,
And then the little guy goes,
oh, thank you, Andrew. That's the most amazing thing I've ever heard.
Pantheist.
What do you think about religion,
Pantheist.
Dad?
Pantheist.
I describe myself as a pantheist.
What is
a pantheist, Andrew?
A pantheist.
Is it believe that you, means that you believe in all gods
it
equally?
It means you believe
you
in...
You can go fuck off,
You believe
lad.
In all gods equally.
Fucking believe in something, you... What? Pantheist. Believe in nothing or something, not fucking pantheism.
It's kind of the worst possible take on atheism or
agnosticism. I'm sort of a pantheist. Pantheism is the physical... is thus. Oh, I have no idea what that is. The worship of all gods of every religion is another definition. He believes in every god of all... No, you don't. You don't believe in Vishnu, Allah. I describe myself as more a pantheist, but he's doing it like it's sort, maybe like sort... You can't be sort of a pantheist,
It's a
can
busy
you?
Day for him. Being that religious. Like, you know, Muslims have got to pray a lot.
No pork, circumcised five times.
Whilst being not circumcised.
He has to pray five times
a day. Go to church every Sunday, got to observe the Sabbath. Then he's got to do Ramadan.
Yeah. I mean, he has to take the body and wine of Christ, but then he also can't drink alcohol because of...
Oh, he's a Scientologist as well.
Oh, it's a fucking nightmare.
He's got the whole thing.
But then in between these kind of slightly insane, self-indulgent kind of diatribes, it cuts to the most hilarious photo shoots where it has them all. So it'll be like the Hollywood actors roundtable. It'll be the Hollywood comedian actors roundtable, the actresses, producers, directors. Then they'll get them on these perfectly designed sets. So you'll have Mark Ruffalo halfway up a ladder, sort of like that. And it was like,
there's always a ladder, isn't there?
There's always a ladder.
Why is
that? Because you have to have someone on a higher level so that you can frame it. Because if you're going to frame them all in one photo...
Otherwise it looks like a school picture.
Exactly.
Like the second hockey
team. Yeah, they're all going to stand in a line.
Yeah,
you need one guy like crouching down.
Or one guy like squatting, holding a football.
And they've all got props.
Yeah.
And it's like, has no one gone... Like, and someone needs to tell you how ridiculous it is. And then dum-dum-dum, dum-dum-dum, dum-dum-dum. That's the music
plays. The thing that annoys me more about it...
I used to think it was the coolest thing in the world as
I remember being like, wow, this is really like masters of their work giving us a secret.
They are the top of the game. Like,
they are, but then
but they're also ridiculous.
They're also talking a lot of shite as well. Like, because my worst thing isn't... It's like, fair enough. Like, there's a... You can talk sincerely about your craft.
Yeah.
Look... I'm not going to cuff him for that. Yeah. But the worst thing is I hate the round table aspect of every... It's the... It's like the kind of the sensual noises they use as agreement. It's like... And they're moved by everything. Because you know in that Andrew Garfield thing, there is... it's always Mark Ruffalo.
You try to talk pretentiously as Andrew Garfield.
The thing that I've always found about cinema is... it's not really an expression of the people who create it, but rather the viewer. It's trying to embody the viewers in ourselves to create something that isn't just us, but everyone. Come. And it's always Mark Ruffalo.
It's always Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo is always there. And he's always the one going,
And I see actors like football players where I really respect what they do. It takes a lot of talent, but I don't want to hear their opinions on religion.
Well, you see actors as basically void husks that walk around waiting to be filled with some sort of ideas.
That's unfair because there's a lot of, and a lot of actors also write and direct, and they, and I respect that profession.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I respect acting a lot.
You're doing a U-turn on your actor point.
But I just think they're inbuilt into acting, successful acting, is thinking you're smarter than you are. And that's where the imbalance comes.
Why do you think that is?
Because you have great roles written for you and great characters written for you.
And therefore,
And so it'll be like an actor who is a good-looking, charismatic person then plays a fucking leading scientist. And now they feel... And it's just almost because you get so much validation. You just have too much... You know, and that's why they carry it around.
I guess it's also because they're literally reading the lines of the writers, and then they kind of feel like you bring it to life, but it's like you didn't come up with it.
And something I've always loved, which is, this is not a dig at actors at all, it's just funny, is like, a great example of this is like Jessica Chastain in Interstellar. All right. I love Hollywood stars playing scientists.
Yeah.
Staring at the whiteboard and then going, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. And they scrub it all out. You know that scene? That's like the classic from the science.
Or they circle one equation and then draw a line to another and circle that, and then it all makes sense.
There's that classic scene where they realize this is all wrong. They have a huge board of equations.
But they always look at something in the room that will make them understand it. They look at something, like they'll look at like a pot, and they'll be like,
oh my God. Oh my God.
The flowers are in the water.
The flowers in the water.
The flowers are in the water. And then suddenly, and then it all makes sense.
I just love the idea. It's similar to me loving non-blind actors playing blind people.
Yeah.
It's.
Do you want to do a quick impression?
Well.
Here's mine.
Okay. Was this you as a blind actor?
Actually, I guess the eyes have to be open.
The point is that you have the eyes open.
It's just... But it's going like... it's the microphone.
And it's like that, but when Jessica Chastain looks at that giant board, she has no idea what any of that means. No. And that will always make me laugh, which I know is a key suspension of disbelief for the whole art form of cinema, but it's still, especially when it's a big Hollywood star you see in loads of different roles, when you're just doing that, it's like you have no idea. You know, Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting, which he wrote himself, it's just him. You have absolutely no idea.
You wanted to do our Ali Pack.
Yeah, well, Al Pacino, I mean, coming through hard with a Boys Gone Wild moment. I mean, the awards have given us some real... I mean, it's amazing how many fuck-ups there are.
It's gaff central.
Yeah.
That's what the Oscars is becoming, gaff central.
And more may they come, because I think gaffs
more
are kind...
May they please come.
Because in many
to
ways...
To you and yours upon us.
From being... really swept up by the majesty of awards as a teen, you know.
Well, now
a celebration of dreams.
The only thing I can picture you in your childhood now is you sitting right, you know, when you see how it's kind of when they're showing Inspiration of a Child and they're sat so close to the TV, cross legs with your glasses on, going like, and it's just like glasses. It's Adrian Brody presenting Best Makeup Artist.
Yeah, yeah. And then, honey, dinner's ready. One more second.
1 minute, Mum. Nicolas Cage has presented Best Adapted Screenplay.
And now I'm only here for the gaffes. I mean, so Al Pacino falls in a long line of gaffes. This is the latest.
Well, explain for the people what happened.
Firstly, we'll go through the gaffes, you know, the old gaffes. We've had Idina Menzel.
The best.
That's up there.
Let's try it. The wickedly talented, the wonderfully wicked Adama Dazeem. That's my favourite of all time. Excellent. That's a top 10.
Something that's underrated because it's not as funny,
yeah,
but it's still mad, is when they got La La Land, when they got everyone up on stage.
But the guy who says it.
Yeah.
And he's so, I guess you're going through a lot of emotions in that moment, so kind of fair enough.
Yeah.
But the way he's like, it's Moonlight. And he goes like that and he's like, it's Moonlight. Guys, come up, it's Moonlight. And you're like, all right, relax. Do you know the
La La Land
producer comes up and there's a kerfuffle behind the stage and they find out it's Moonlight and he takes it upon himself to be like, it's Moonlight. Moonlight, well, that's the underrated bit.
Yeah.
He goes, you can't come up, it's Moonlight. And the Moonlight are like, okay. It's like they don't.
It'd be amazing if Moonlight went up there and I was like, ah!
Yeah. Hey, Ferren. Yeah. For like the whitest film to take down the kind of blackest.
That, for some reason, wasn't as funny. But it still is, as a fuck up, it's kind of, you can't get much worse than that.
No, they always
that's
seem...
the worst, but it was almost too bad it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't make me laugh for some reason the same way. Because it was shocking.
It was kind of, it was so shocking, kind of just, the awkwardness was almost too awkward to be.
And then, this is not a gaffe, but Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, what's amazing about it is it's such a big fuck up that it no longer becomes a gaffe. You can't call that a gaffe.
It's my favourite moment in history.
It's one of the first. It's the best. It's the best
Goosebumps.
Wake up to a news notification
Goosebumps.
Of all time, isn't it?
Goosebumps thinking about it. If I could, I would pay anything to go back to that morning.
What?
When I woke up, my alarm went for work, just took aeroplane mode off and saw like Will Smith slaps Chris Rock at the Oscars. I was like, well, there must be something.
I mean, it was on a red carpet.
It's a joke or something, a little silly
thing. It's always clickbait, gets you to watch it.
But it was BBC News, so I was like, well, something's happened. Just watching that video for the first time, I was like, something's going on. Yeah. And then watching it 20 more times, and then it sunk in that it happened. One of the greatest realizations of my life.
Plant the foot. That's what I love. We're watching it. He plants his foot and the smack is so
perfect.
Hard. It's not like a little like telling off slap. It's planting just bang all of his weight.
I studied history.
Yeah.
It's my favorite historical moment.
Do you think?
I love it so much.
Yeah.
It's got everything you need in it.
And then Jameela Jamil's take after that was, this was, you shouldn't, if you're a white person, you shouldn't have an opinion on it because it's between two.
But that, and that was
what happens between two black guys is between
that's my
their
second
community.
Favorite historical moment. Because I was watching that and having opinions and then I heard her and was like, I should stay out of this. I'm watching this in my bed and I'm like, this, you know what, this isn't about me.
What's also awesome is her making, seeing that and being like, this is a black thing.
Yeah. It's so racist.
It's so fun. It's such a hilarious approach.
But
we've approached, which in the long list of gaffes, Al Pacino, which is, I think, you know, you didn't seem to love it as much. I think it's up there.
So I've heard, right, so I think you can only love it if you see the context of the ceremony a little bit. I know we're all used to that, and the nominees are, right?
And gaffes at the end for Best Picture, that gives it extra points.
It elevates it, of course. But for me, I need to see the full picture of it because you're used to we're all used to the format, and the nominees are. But then when I saw the clip, I was like, I thought the nominees had already happened.
Yeah.
So that kind of... It wasn't immediately,
there's
but
a clear confusion.
But apparently the producers said, that we're not going to do the nominees. The internet. Well, actually, Al Pacino did. He's released a statement.
That's what I mean.
Well...
And I don't buy it for a second.
That's probably true. Because they'd been... You know how they do at the Oscars nowadays is they release, for the Best Picture nominations, they do a bit on them throughout the ceremony.
Yeah.
So the argument is that they'd gone through it so many times during the night that they didn't want to read them out again. So it's just you're straight in with it. And I want the Oscar statement. We've heard Pacino. What do the Oscars say?
Yeah. I still believe that Pacino potentially was at fault here, and I do think
he doesn't look well.
No, and I do think, and he was. It was what was amazing about that. There's a lot to the fuck up. You know, the fact that he looks awful. The fact that he's so old, the fact that his girlfriend is 22 years old or something.
And he's got a newborn baby.
Yeah, that's awesome, 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 awesome. And he comes up and he's doing that. And he doesn't read out any of the people nominated in the category, which I think everyone throughout the night has been reading out the nominations. That's the rhythm of these things. And instead, he opens it and he goes, I'm going to open the envelope now.
The elevator.
And then everyone's laughing.
Yeah.
Because, and he's like, he's sort of playing off his shtick, which would work if it was like...
He's reducing the significance of the moment for comedic effect.
Which is fine if you come through at the end. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but
you can't do
that. It's
similar to when Willy Wonka, Gene Wilder's Willy Wonka, pretended to fall over and he rolled over and he lands on his feet, you know?
It's an excellent comparison and it's... Got goosebumps. The goosebumps are back, by the way. They're happening more
in a
and
big
more
way.
Regularly. I went out and had conversations about the Olympics last night, and my hairs were up for the whole conversation. Yeah. But yes, it is like
they're
that.
Standing to salute. That's yeah, they're what, just that's, like it's an army of people just standing
my,
to salute.
My stepbrother made a point about.
They're Nazis.
My hair are Nazis. My stepbrother made a point about curling. I was like. Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Like, you're getting goosebumps over curling.
You know, that shouldn't be surprising.
What was the point?
I can't remember the point. It was more of an illustrious example. We spoke about the curling for hours. So it was like, my hair stood on ends for more than one point during the curling conversation.
That's the thing about, I love just the idea of like a really like, I don't know, drunken bro chat. It's just, I fucking love curling.
That's
man.
Exactly what was happened it? Last night.
Dude,
yeah.
It's fucking
awesome. I was talking about badminton. Anyway, and the velodrome. The amount of times I said the word velodrome and it made me
so he
emotional.
Says, I'm going to open the envelope now. And then he gets a laugh that gives him...
Because he's playing down
yeah,
the moment.
Yeah. And then he goes, am I a C or Oppenheimer?
I'm seeing Oppenheimer.
What he's trying to say is, my eyes see Oppenheimer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Instead, he put the first three words together. So yeah. He goes, am I C Oppenheimer? And he puts that as one long word, which is am I C Oppenheimer.
Which kind of sounds like, is there also a film nominated called am I C Oppenheimer? Because that's what it's like. Is that
am I C Oppenheimer.
And Oppenheimer going... Well, go on, Amos Oppenheimer, you've won.
And then Amos Oppenheimer saying,
and they
no,
stand
you
up won. And they go, and they look like all of the cast and directors, but just slightly different. Yeah, right. My read.
And what was amazing is there's a pause. This is the big announcement of the night. This is probably, you could argue for Christopher Nolan, is maybe the biggest moment of his career, you could argue, with his best picture.
He's never won best picture.
Never won
he?
Best picture. You could
nuts.
You could argue this is his big moment, and yeah. Al Pacino is just fucking.
I'm a V Oppenheimer.
What I love this, and what I love in all these things, it's just the fucking, with all these live TV things, it's the pause.
Yeah,
of life.
And when you hear the audience react, and it's the.
And no, and then the music, Oppenheimer music
and
starts
playing. And the
music
playing. Confirms that it's the truth.
Yeah. I guess it's sort of like...
The music confirms it's the truth, because there was a muted applause and then there was a roar of...
Yeah. It's like a mini VAR break. You're
yeah,
kinda,
yeah.
You're, this is, you're waiting to celebrate.
you're... A VAR for Pacino announcing it. We're just going to quickly check with the stewards in the back room there. It is Oppenheimer, everyone.
It's Oppenheimer.
It's Oppenheimer. It's Oppenheimer. Yeah. Right, my read.
I'm a C. Oppenheimer.
I'm a C. Oppenheimer. It's a ballsy way to present an award.
Yeah.
My read on it is thus. He's not looking well. There is a chance that he didn't have to read out the nominees.
He's coming hard at the moment as well. We have to remember that he's like what in his 70s and
he's late 70s
yeah,
maybe.
And he is being he's fucking and sucking a lot too much for his age maybe. So we got to take that into account.
So, are you putting down this to a lack of cum in his body?
I'm just saying that...
Because that's a take.
I'm saying that old men are not meant to be fucking and sucking this hard.
What? Right, hold on, they're not. Yeah. So then, but when old men are fucking and sucking this hard,
yeah.
Maybe don't get them to present Best Picture of the Oscars.
Yes.
Right.
Well, 2020 hindsight,
so are you
it's
saying,
easy to say that now.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
But are you saying that everyone, every man who presents the Oscars should get their body read for cum levels before they're allowed to present it?
I would say that... Too invasive a procedure.
Which was, you know, controversial.
I would argue if you're over 70 and yeah. Your girlfriend's or wife or baby mama's in her 20s, you shouldn't be allowed to read out the awards.
Okay. That might actually strike off quite a lot of the future of Best Picture presenters.
Because you can never get any old actor.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, part you know, it's an yeah. Honor to. It's almost like an award in itself.
Yeah.
To present it, and you know, you've got to reach the.
It's like, wow, this guy's not vain at all. He doesn't have a 20-year-old.
Yeah,
girlfriend.
But we're gonna have to get like Chalamet doing it because he's young.
Seeing
enough.
Pacino do that, it does make you think what could be done if you managed to get Biden to do it. Obviously, a president would never do it, but Biden at one of those.
Well, did you see his State of the Union?
No,
he killed it.
Did he? Did he come bring in the fucking noise?
He brought the fucking noise. People are excited about Biden again. He brought State of the Union, the big thing.
Well, he's done this a couple of times.
Yeah,
like he had another one which when he came in hard.
Well, maybe he's too. Maybe you know. Well, he's.
Well, do you think the reason he's doing that is because he's doing like a
he hasn't got enough
Monica Lewinsky levels. Type thing.
His cum levels are too low.
Yeah,
maybe.
I can imagine this sort of
but I think he's more of a president when you come in and he's fucking the drawer.
I imagine he's a president.
While saying his wife's name.
I don't think he's fucking the drawer. I think he's more trousers and pants around his ankle, cock out.
Obviously.
And then he's sort of trying to catch a fly, but he doesn't know his trousers. Do you know what I mean? And then he's like,
it's a great Breaking Bad episode.
He tries to jump and his trousers get caught and he flips over the sofa.
Oh, who's in the fight?
And then whenever Biden's on the floor.
Anyway, the Texas border crisis is at an end.
He's like this.
Yeah.
He's lying on his back. Like this.
Or more like a cow that's been tipped over.
Yeah,
that's stuck
he can't
on,
get back
he's
up.
Stuck on his back.
Right. Well, we've got a couple of other things to talk about, but I think we probably should move over to the Patreon. You don't want the pen. Thank you very much for listening, guys. Please sign up to the Patreon. It's getting stanky over there.
This is a very professional ending.
Ooh! Yeah.
Bye!